many of people share this sentiment with me, that He is beautiful, He is wonderful, He's our loving Savior, that His presence is all we need, that He does touch us, that He does send His ministering servants to intervene in our lives, that He has sent His Holy Spirit to indwell us and bring new life to what was dead, to make us alive, to translate us out of a kingdom of darkness and into a kingdom of light, make us inhabitants of a new world, to make us priests and kings, ruling in life, reigning in life through Jesus Christ. I don't take this for granted, Lord. I pray that Your church would make a difference on earth, in this city. Jesus. Amen. Wonderful time. We're going to just continue the next part of our gathering. You know, we only put a 90 minutes aside once a week for a corporate gathering like this. We might as well get what we came for. Amen? And that is just the presence and the freshness of Jesus in our midst. Because I think most of us would agree that we over religion. If by that we define religion as spending our lives trying to please and be good enough and to impress God to deserve some of His blessings, favors, and everything that religion defines, that we've finished with that. But we've come into a glorious freedom of sons of God, reborn, spirit-filled, blood-washed, sons and daughters who get to please Him by the everyday things we do. When you get in your car and drive to work, you're pleasing God because He sees you as His child. He sees you as His inheritance. And we get to live a holy life. We want to live a holy life. Deep down in our recreated spirits, we want to live a holy life because of what He's done on the inside of us. And to meet with a group of people like that and with one voice declare, "You're beautiful." Just for a moment there in the singing, the instrument stopped. And it was just the voices. And I just heard, "Ye folk, all together in one voice, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful." It's what we live for. It's what we live for. I'm going to ask those taking up the offering if they could come up. And if we can prepare ourselves. Part of our giving in this place is our partnership and agreement with what happens in this place. So for everything that happens in this place, every person that comes to know the Lord who's touched by God, our partnership in making that happening, some sing, some preach, some do all kinds of things, some just enjoy So as we participate in this together, Father, we thank You for a generous house. And we thank You for a house of partnership here. And we pray, Lord, as we bring our offerings, bring our tithes today, that joy would rise up in Jesus' name. Amen. And we've got a song item while we do that.
Such a freedom I have found in You. You're a healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. Future declared to you, the past is over. You, things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. Oh, oh, oh. You have risen with all the power in your hands. You have given me a second chance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, yeah, 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 oh, yeah, 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 whoa. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. Future declared to you, the past is over, and you, things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Future declared to you. My past is over in you. Things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward.
Pray that your knee is healed in Jesus' name. Sam, she did a knee injury this week, so she still wanted to sing this morning, so that's great. Well, good morning to you again. Just want to say that our praise and worship times seem to be so short, working within limited space on a Sunday morning. Just feels like we're ready to dive headlong into the river. And we've got the reality of it being a family service and there are other things to do. But what we're wanting to do on a Sunday night now is to go back to our old format from the 1 hour service, which we ran as a kind of experimental phase through December. But from tonight, we're going back to our full-fledged service. And there's a worship team of note that are going to have a big emphasis on praise and worship and just jumping in the river, knocking out the end, and just... So, guys who come out of Sunday morning saying, man, I want more, we got more. I mean, why shouldn't we just have a revival while we're about it? I mean, let's have some fun. So I just wanted to mention that. Also, by now, we're probably all familiar with the beginning of the year, vision, this church exists for, make God's name good, because He is good. And to show His goodness. And He does that through His church. But He doesn't do it through a weak church. He does it through a church that is growing strong, a church that's going from a fledgling, weak, insipid church that's saved but sick, saved but in debt, saved but depressed, saved but discouraged, to a church that's saved and walking in victory and joy and abundance and strength and healing. And that's a journey the church is on. And we started off by showing a little bit of a before and after picture of what the year looks like. And maybe that's fresh in all of our minds. That's why this church exists, is to show His goodness, but we need to go from before to after. Amen. And this is a year about going after. So we've been meeting the last few weeks with a group of the leaders and other folk who are wanting to be part of this personal coach approach to the life groups, that we want to bring discipleship and maturity to the church by way of discipleship. As we see in Ephesians 4:11, it says, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers." And what was the reason for this? Verse 12, "To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." That is what Jesus, the head, wants the church to look like. Because then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here, there by every wind of teaching, the cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So that's a beautiful picture of the body of Jesus being developed, being strengthened. Your part as a ligament, a joint, a muscle, working together with other members in the body, that as we grow up in our faith, we'll no longer be tossed to and fro, and we will get to demonstrate the goodness and the greatness of God. But that only happens as every part is oiled and strengthened and exercised into its rightful functioning. And that's why this year we want to take this quite seriously, and we want to invite you to the gym, and we want to say this is a year to get fit, and we're going to pair you up with a personal coach, and we want to see you go from strength to strength throughout the course of this year. We've got one short life to live. We might as well make a big difference for eternity. Amen? So, part of this eating and exercising program that is going to be presented to you over 20 weeks in the life groups and through a life group coach is going to be, these are the topics that we're going to cover over the next 20 weeks. They are righteousness by grace, the nature of God, our identity with Christ, guiltless Christianity, how to receive the Holy Spirit, learning to pray, and the benefit and the spiritual warfare of speaking tongues, the dangers of self-centeredness, the source of all grief, how to meditate on God's word, renewing the mind, the local church, your authority, healing, hindrances, finances, prayer, the kingdom, fruit, your testimony, and using your gift. These are some of the subject matter, the computer language, the new computer program that needs to be written into the life of the church so that we can come to maturity, be built up, every part doing its part, that the world can see and know that God is good. Amen. That's why we exist. That's what we're here for. Let's make this short little life we live here make a big difference, both now and for eternity. And God has chosen to do exactly that through His people, His church. So we are going to be finishing up this Thursday with our time with the leaders, and then next Sunday we are going to explain more practically how we're going to launch this through the whole church. Our goal is to bring the body to maturity. We are training up people right now. We're meeting with them this Thursday night to explain how that's going to work. If you've been coming to those and you've missed this last week, it was DVD'd for those leaders who want to catch up. It would be a good one to catch up this last Thursday if you missed it. And if you've missed both of them, you can catch them up through DVD. But this will be the final week in kind of pulling it all together. And then cells will start officially. Well, not so. We'll explain next week. We'll explain it next week. So that's how that's all working. Good. You got your Bibles here. Let's open up. And with these last 15 minutes I got, let me try and unpack something that's been growing and brewing in me through the week, through the month. And Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. Maybe before we read that, let me introduce my topic by saying there are two kingdoms living, existing side by side. And the one kingdom is the what the scripture refers to as the kingdom of darkness. It's the fallen kingdom. It's the kingdom where the God of this world operates through the agreement of these the world systems and the institutions of this world. Then there's another kingdom that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. I'm ushering in a new kingdom. He came and said, the kingdom of God is at hand and it's within you. It first starts off as an invisible kingdom, but his kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom and begins to overthrow the kingdoms of this world as they become the kingdoms of our God. The whole Bible is a message about God's plan to establish his kingdom. And his church are not the kingdom, but we are the doorway in this season, in this dispensation, for his kingdom to be demonstrated. And that's why we pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Two kingdoms living side by side, just at different frequencies. Like many of you, I was in my swimming pool yesterday, and for just a moment I submerged myself completely under the water, blew out all the air out of my lungs, and just floated down to the bottom. Pure, silent bliss. No screaming grandkids. No lawnmower next door ruining the peace. Not just quiet. And a few meters away, my wife's in the kitchen cooking, doing what good wives do on a Saturday, preparing for our supper. And you could say we're in two very different worlds right there, side by side. The elements of water and the elements of air. Two people close nearby, but in two different worlds. That's how stark the contrast and the reality is between these two kingdoms that we live in today. A couple of last two or three years ago, I got a little bit distracted into watching a lot of Al Jazeera news program. And it didn't take long to get sucked into all the negativity of what's going on in this world. Let me tell you, if you don't guard what goes into your eyes and goes into your ears and gets into your heart, you will get sucked into a system. That doesn't mean we live like an ostrich with its head in the ground. We know what's going on, but the reality of our world is greater than the reality of this world. And when what's coming in, if garbage in, garbage out, we fill ourselves too much with what's happening in this kingdom. We lose the fruit falls off the tree. We lose our joy. We lose our peace. We lose our vision. Anyway, that was by introduction. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all of its truth. You learned it from Rufus, our dear brother, said that before, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, say qualified me, to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, for that powerful message. Thank you, Lord, for that powerful exchange that took place of people's lives who were living in a kingdom called darkness. And through this powerful message, were translated and transferred because they were qualified by what Jesus did on the cross and because of the grace of this new covenant into a new kingdom where we're called sons of the Most High. We got the DNA of Jesus. We got the same Spirit living in us that lived in Christ. We have the same standing of righteousness as Jesus had when He walked on the earth. This is the message of the gospel. And that message translated you out of one kingdom into another kingdom. Well, let me back up a little bit and just introduce you to where this kingdom started. Genesis gives a poetic overview of God's initializing this plan. In the garden where there was peace and tranquility and love, God had a kingdom in operation that He gave three clear purposes. And if you can remember these in your mind, you'll get the gist of what I'm going to be saying this morning. First of all, He gave them His presence. That was the greatest gift He could give to a people living in His kingdom. Was He was there with them. His presence permeated the place. God was in communion. He said, let us create. God has always been in unity. He's always been plural. He's always been, although He's one, His expression of Himself and His wanting to love a people, a family of His own, was demonstrated through creating the cosmos and a planet perfectly situated at the right distance from the sun to have a living habitat where people could live. And His first thing He gave them was His presence. The second thing He gave them was His provision. They would need a place where they could survive. So He gave them the air to breathe and the water to drink and the fruit to eat and all the other goodies out there. He gave them all the tools and all the technology inherent in this planet, because everything that's been discovered or anything that's been invented had to be put you in the first place. And God gave man the mind to comprehend and to be able to exercise dominion over those things and use those things for His advantage and enjoy them with health and longevity. God made provision for everything that you and I needed for life and godliness. And then thirdly, what God gave was a purpose, an assignment, a reason for being on the planet. And what was that? Multiply, go forth, subdue, and rule the planet. And from there, I believe we could have gone further. But that's maybe my science fiction mind kicking in a little bit over there. The point was that God wanted the whole globe to be covered with a worshiping, God-loving community of people who walked in perfect health, perfect provision, perfect peace, perfect everything on this planet and would take dominion, because the earth had fallen, Genesis 2, 1 verse 2, but that's a whole other subject. Darkness had come on the face of the earth. But man was to take dominion and to rule. And when man came into agreement, well, not man, it was actually woman, came into agreement with the lie of the enemy, and her poor husband was just dragged into this whole cesspool mess. No, not really. His job was to watch over her and to instruct and to protect. And he wasn't doing his job. And that's why she fell into a mess. And that pattern hasn't changed much. Sure, ladies, I just got out of that one. So anyway, the results of the fall were that those three areas were lost. It's fall because you went from a top place to a bottom place. The top place was his presence. Presence gone. Man living on planet Earth, no presence of God. What am I doing here? I mean, who wants to live on this God-forsaken rock in the middle of nowhere without God with us? That's God-forsaken. Okay, that's the God-forsaken part. Secondly, they lost divine provision. They had to now work by the sweat of their brow. 90% of their life is now consumed with get, hold up, store for a rainy day. Their whole focus is distracted now because it's all about me and climbing this ladder and getting somewhere and doing something to save and protect. So man has lost his God provision sense and has become self-dependent. And then thirdly, maybe the most importantly, he's lost his purpose. So now he's got to find it in a whole lot of other endeavors. He's got to achieve it through a whole lot of other stuff because that primary God-given sense of meaningful life, the why you're here on earth, so that the glory of God could cover this planet as the waters cover the sea. That whole sense of greatness and vision was abandoned and lost. That was the first kingdom. That's how the first kingdom came into play. That's how the first kingdom was established, through agreement. Then a second kingdom was established at the cross when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." A second kingdom was initiated by agreement. When we came into agreement with what Jesus did on the cross, we were translated out of a kingdom of called darkness into a kingdom called the kingdom of God. And in that moment of transfer, we become a new creature and we are restored with the presence of God in our lives, with the provision of God on our lives, and with a purpose of God to live for in this short life that we live. That's what it means to be transferred and translated into a new kingdom. This is not just about church. This is not just about singing a few nice songs. This is not just about taking up an offering. This is not just about a play now and then. This is about world dominion. Ruling and reigning with Christ on earth. This is about us coming into agreement at the cross that it's finished. And then coming into agreement when he said, "Now go, make disciples of all nations." We have been talking this morning about making disciples of a few people. Jesus was talking about making disciples of nations. I mean, he just brought everything back into perspective. He said, "I'm going to give you my presence again. I will never leave or forsake you. No sin, no bad stuff you do will ever make me leave you. I might have to give you a slap on the side of the ear and get you back in line, but I will never leave you and I will never desert you and I'll never forsake you. My presence is with you and you'll have to strain and struggle your whole life if you try and run away from me." That's the first thing. The second thing is, he says, "I will take care of you. I will provide for you if you will come into agreement with me." Because this is how we exercise the benefits of living in his kingdom. We come into agreement. But if we're not coming into agreement with him, and we're only coming into agreement with the things we can blame, the economy. You know, I'm the wrong color, I'm the wrong size, I'm the wrong sex, I'm the wrong this, I'm the wrong... If we're always agreeing with what's happening in this world system, then we're going to be struggling to make it in our own strength. And we never take responsibility that God said, "I will provide for you." If I come into agreement with God's promise, I can't still be in agreement with what this world says to me. The state of affairs. Because then I'm in a contradiction. I can't live in both worlds. I either believe what God says or I believe what this world says. If I believe what God says, I come to a new place of dependence on Him. But if I'm always blaming affirmative action, or I'm blaming I had a disadvantaged upbringing, or I'm blaming I'm not a male, or I'm blaming I'm not a female. If I'm always blaming someone else, I'm never taking responsibility for the promises that God gave me that I should be in agreement with. Hello? And I'm always finding something to blame. And you know, it's actually quite easy to blame something else. Circumstances. What's going on around me. Because all I'm doing is I'm not taking responsibility. But God says, whatsoever you ask, if you do not doubt in your heart. If I'm going to live in this kingdom, I have to live by a whole new operating system. Can you see why my mind needs to be renewed? Can you see why our minds need to be renewed? Because the old kingdom so brainwashed us and so wrote the programming in our mind that even as Christians who are saved, we're still living under the control systems of that world and we haven't been let loose into our full rights as sons of God. There are two kingdoms side by side. And we can be born again, but still living in defeat because our minds haven't been renewed. That's partly why we as a local church are saying, let's take 20 gospel truths that God's people can come into agreement with. Because even if you've heard those before and think you know some of them, you will be on an ascending escalator, an ascending stairway. You receive knowledge at new levels every time. And as you begin to open up your spirit and say, God, I want to come into agreement with your word because your word is going to cause me not to live as a baby in the kingdom, but as a mature adult grown up in the kingdom. I have to be in agreement with your words. I need to know what your word says. And these 20 areas are 20 good starting points. They're not the end, but they are a good start if we'll come into agreement with them. This physical world was created by word. God spoke. I know now this new scientific, there's a new science that speaks about the basic core of an atom, their vibrations. Oh, I thought you young people are all talking this language. Astrophysics. It's got some fancy technical term. Quantum physics. Thank you. Now this whole new quantum physics thing that's going on, they've now broken down the atom to even smaller shreds, they call them, I think. And then they've broken those down one more where they say it's no longer matter. It's just vibration at different frequencies. It's a whole new world. And I'm thinking, well, whatever, you know, this is still this and this is still this for me living here. But this is interesting because what is a word? It's a vibration. You hearing me by vibration. What did God do? He spoke. And it says the whole world was created by His word, and it says it's held together by His word. So God just speaks, and every vibration that has to form every strand, that's got to form every atom, that's got to form every molecule, listens to Him and does what it's supposed to do, and we got this physical world we live in. And now quantum physics scientists are only discovering some of these things, but long time ago God spoke the world into existence. So here we have a world that's created by God's word. And then we have the same world that is destroyed by man's agreement with the enemy's word. And now we have a new kingdom that's based on His word. And we, as new born again believers, have to come into agreement with His word if we're going to see His kingdom established in our lives, right here on earth. Let your kingdom come. Every time we pray that, every time we speak to darkness, every time we speak to situations we're faced with, Bible says, the good man brings forth good things from the... Can we read that? Where's that? What's this? Register now. No, thank you. Where did that come from? Behind you in Jesus' name. Get behind me. Andrew, can we have Matthew 12, verse 34? It says there, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you heard that before? So whatever on the inside of you is going to come out of you. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35. The good man out of the good treasure stored up in him brings forth good things. And the evil man out of the evil treasure stored up in him brings forth bad things. I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account for thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou art justified, and by thy words thou art condemned. Oh, did you not get that scripture? Sorry, I was just reading away blissfully here. But did you get it? So, whatever on the inside is going to come out. And Jesus says, we're going to give an account for those words. The good man is bringing forth good things. And the man that's got negativity, criticism, fear on the inside is going to be speaking those things. And he's going to decide which world he wants to live in. We're going to either live in God's joy, peace, kingdom, or we're going to live in another kingdom. I really want you to go home and read that verse. I've tried to condense too much this morning, and because I had such a little time after Bill took up all my time with a testimony. But let me leave these three things. If you read between the lines, this kingdom you're in now, we establish his presence through our praise, through the words that come out of our lip. We're either praising or we're cursing. We're blessing or we're belittling. And that's going to determine more than anything else where we get to live, where we get to experience. Praise, worship. Provision our life is going to come by us finding out what God says is the truth and coming into agreement. Purpose. You see, there's a huge vision out there. It's to make disciples of nations. It's to occupy the planet. And that's only going to happen as we, God's people, start to see on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why Jesus taught them to pray that. Because it's got to start here. It's got to start with, God, I believe your word says, and I now decree it. I decree it. Don't get me, I'm not talking New Age here, that whatever you say sends out a vibration that's got an intrinsic power. Now, I'm saying God's word was the originating course with intrinsic power. Whatever he said has been set in course, and nothing can change that. All we get to do is resonate with it, with our words. So when we resonate with what Jesus did on the cross, we have his creation around us. When we come into agreement with what he said about our provision, we create his world around us. When we come into agreement with his purpose for our lives, we resonate with what he said and we see his world happening around us. And lots of little us's all together make a much bigger influence. And that's how the kingdom increases. That's how the kingdom grows. God has restored his presence. He's restoring his purpose and he's restoring his provision in our lives. And we get to say, God, I'm going to agree with it. I'm going to get good stuff in my heart because what's in my heart's going to come out. The abundance of my heart, my mouth is going to speak. And what I speak, I'll give account for in this life. Not only in the life to come, because if I'm unhappy with what I'm seeing manifest in my life right now, I've got to look at what is coming out of my mouth more than anything else. Because God has done everything God's going to do. He's not against me. He's for me and he's good. But if I'm not seeing the fruit in my life of what I believe that his word says, then I've got to watch, what am I in agreement with? What am I resonating in God with? What am I allowing to come into my heart? Because the overflow of the heart, if I'm putting garbage in, garbage going to come out, and as garbage comes out, it's going to create a mess, and then I blame God for the mess. I say, why did God do this? God, I thought you were a God of love. He says, not me, you. There's two kingdoms, side by side. You can be saved, but living in fear, living in distress, living in debt, living in all kinds of darkness. But this is a year to say, let's recalibrate the uneducated idiot box. Let's recalibrate it with a word of truth. Let's make sure people are discipled into kingdom reality so their hearts are filled with what's important to him so that we can see on earth as it is in heaven, his kingdom coming through a church that rises up. Let's stand up together. A church that goes from being an insipid, weak, miserable, half-hearted, half-baked, vanilla-flavored wannabe to a church that is bursting at the seams, busting at the seams, overflowing with generosity, overflowing with favor and blessing in a year of God's favor. We're going to show the world that God is good. He's good in spite of what you're going through, but His goodness is going to be demonstrated. Thank you, Father. This morning, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for changed lives, and we thank you for a changed year. In Jesus' wonderful name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you.